Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wake up, Atlanta. This is the Morning Shift, as you just heard. That was previous on the Morning Shift, and now we are live as I come to you from Squidbilly Mobile Kia Studios. And I am Squidbilly, and he's the All-American, the national champion, former Atlanta Falcon, Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. And she is the founder of Allie's Army, Allie Mack. And we are live right now talking all things Atlanta. How about you, Mr. Bryce Elder? That's two straight quality starts for you. And the Falcons have signed their undrafted free agents. And that's where we're starting, guys. The Falcons have released 11 names that will join them for all of the offseason activities and training camp, and those are the undrafted free agents. You know, and Mike, there's a couple of, and Allie, there's a couple of big names on there for us if you followed the draft. And I kind of want to start with the receiver out of, I believe it's San Jose State, Nick Nash. Big guy, 6'2", 6'3"-ish. Not the fastest runner, but look, he is a guy that he's kind of Kadarryl Hodge, but slower, Mike.
Yeah, well, that's tough to put. And good morning to you, Bo. Hope you're having a great morning. I think when you look at it, there's a lot of upside in Nick Nash, right? And more of a possession guy, more of a Drake London-esque, more than a Kadarryl Hodge, I guess. You know what I mean? More of a, I don't like the term possession receiver, but yeah, when you talk about got somebody that can box people out, that's long, that can make certain plays in the open field that you can throw jump balls to, he's definitely one of those guys. And I think the Falcons were lucky to sign him. I don't know if you guys saw there's a Dez Bryant tweet. Did you catch this, Bo, the Dez Bryant tweet?
Yeah, I did, actually.
After the draft, and Dez Bryant says, Isaiah Bond, Nick Nash, Kobe Bryant, going undrafted is nasty work for those guys. We got two of those three. Like, and not only that, the third one is a Buford High School guy, and Isaiah Bond. We got two of those three, and Nick Nash being one of them. So I'm pretty stoked about him. I know that we'll talk a lot about all these guys throughout a lot of the day, but it's pretty interesting to see Nick Nash, as one of those guys. I think a lot of people kind of expected him to be drafted. The other guy that I'm sure you'll want to touch on is Kobe Bryant. This guy had a third or fourth round grade from a lot of people. He is, by the way, named after Kobe Bryant. So there's that.
But
he's long. He's got a good wingspan. He plays with physicality. He's only 180 pounds. I think I saw some concern on some of the draft boards, guys, that, you know, he steps up and probably throws his weight around a little bit too much because of his frame being a little more slight. But he's a guy that you could see making the team at a certain point. And I think that when you look at both those guys, they have the opportunity.
Well, and let me ask you, because I'm seeing all these names, but how hard is it realistically for an undrafted free agent to make the team in the NFL?
Yeah. I don't know. Is there anything over extremely? Like, is there anything higher than extremely? Like, I'm trying to think. And I think there's probably one per year. Right, Bo? I mean, like, I think we look at one per year of a guy that you're like, all right, that guy might be able to do it. Of this whole list of 11, you might get one. Now, maybe you have the random year where you get two, but a lot of times it's – and there are expanded P-squad rosters now compared to when I was playing, but I think Ryan Schrader made it when I was there. That was a big time like UDFA thing, but yeah, anything beyond extremely, I think, is the way to put that.
I think it's as easy for an undrafted free agent to make it as a seventh-round draft pick, and they're both extremely hard. Ryan Schrader made it when you were there. I remember Ricardo Allen being a seventh-round draft pick, being the practice squad the first year, and then next thing we know, the guy's a Pro Bowl player, right?
Yeah.
At safety when you move positions. I think it's extremely hard, but it might be harder to make the roster today than it was when you played, Mike, and only because of that expanded practice squad. And I guess some people count that as making the roster.
That's a good point.
I don't necessarily count it as making the roster. I think it's, you know, you're basically available for any. You're a free agent that practices to me when you're a practice squad player.
No, I think you're spot on when it comes to that. And when I was playing, and just to get everybody up to speed, doesn't know what Bo's talking about. When I was playing, the practice squad was like 8-9 players, and those guys had to be had to have less than a year of like NFL service. Like once you made a roster, it was almost impossible to actually go back to the P squad the next year because you had NFL service time. Now that's wide open. Like, and we saw it last year, the year before, Julio Jones was on like a practice squad. So now you can bring in like 10-year veterans to the practice squad, and then they take up the roster spots, and you can kind of keep recycling them in that way. I think it's a good thing. And now I don't know what it is, 16 practice squad guys, I think. And now that's, you know, you can continue to develop guys in that kind of light, that realm. But you're right, Bo. It's like those guys don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to have the overturn that you have. What you're dealing with a little bit in college football with the, you know, the COVID year and everything else, you know, there's not always spots for high schoolers. The transfer portal takes over. It's kind of the same thing in the NFL, to your point, where it becomes harder and harder. But I'm with you. Look, nobody's a bigger Ricardo Allen fan. I love Ryan Schrader. Those were always the few and far between, you know, when you start looking at the names that would possibly pop out on that roster and, you know, be a contributing factor. I think that we expected guys like Natron Brooks last year. I think he got cut on the initial, but it ended up being part of it, you know, towards the end of the season. But
yeah,
trying to think of the I know the secondary had one last year that I think was UDFA that ended up being on the roster. I'm trying to think who it was.
D. Alford wasn't drafted. I mean, he was the guy that played. He was undrafted. He went and played in Canada for a little bit. And the reason I mentioned Ricardo Allen was because I said it's as hard as a seventh-round pick, and he was a seventh-round pick that ended up getting cut and making the practice squad that year. Nick Nash, the reason I said Kadarrell Hodge is they're on the same size, but he is slower than Hodge. Kadarrell Hodge is faster than him. He's not Nick Nash doesn't have elite speed, which is one of the things that kind of, I think, maybe limited him in the draft. Because you mentioned Kobe Bryant's draft grade. Nash had a fifth-round grade. And so, you know, there's things that these guys get nitpicked, right?
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Like, what percentile are you in as far as your 40? And you just know that. And look, I've never been in a draft room, but you just know when you get into that situation, they're looking at the board and they're like color coding things. And it's like, oh, this guy's, you know, he's in the 4-6 realm in terms of his 40. Let's just slide him on down, look right past him. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. When you start getting that label in the build up to the draft, it's like, I don't know.
I don't know if I'm reading my draft strengths or Kobe Bryant's, but, my favorite part on Dame Brugler when I was looking over him earlier, it says love to chirp and has a gift for gab on and off the field.
Yikes!
And he hosts his own podcast called Kicking It with Kobe. So
love that.
There's a couple of guys that come to mind. Quinyon Mitchell is the guy that has not shut up to since the day he was drafted by the Eagles. I think he's talking right now. Probably talks in his sleep, but he can back it up. And then you have the negative in the guy like Deontay Johnson, who also never shuts up. But it's a negative for him because it got him on like three different teams last year. So
there's a time and a place, man. There's a time and a place.
Yeah, you got to be careful with some of that. But look, those are just two of the guys to me that I thought mentioning was important because I think they're probably two of the favorites to make this team. You know, you had Jordan Williams, offensive lineman from Georgia Tech and from Gainesville, Georgia. He's a big guy that probably has a chance. But those two were the ones to me that really stood out and kind of I look at them and, man, there could be something here.
Well, and yesterday you guys were talking about how you're a little bit concerned we didn't draft a defensive tackle. Is it concerning that there's only one defensive lineman on this undrafted free agent list?
That's a good question. I don't want to speak for Bo, but it is for me. Simeon Barrow is the only defensive lineman on this list, and he is 280-pounder out of Miami. Dude, I don't know how you feel, but like to me, this is going to be moving forward. Our defensive tackle room, the interior defensive lineman, is going to be the Braves' bullpen of this offseason. Like, you're going to, until they perform, you're going to look at it and go, dude, should have probably made another move. You know what I mean? Like, I know that there's talk that Lakeil London's gained weight. I saw some of that on the socials. You still have David Onyemata, which I think is shocking. But I guess I did expect them to get some UDFA defensive tackles in there, and it's just not. You're not only losing Grady Jarrett, but you're losing, like I said this yesterday, one of the biggest things you're losing is Eddie Goldman. And
yeah,
I don't know who you think is replacing that guy.
So this is actually a hard question for me because in my mind, based on what I saw last year, yes, it's concerning. And I'm a little, but I think my biggest problem is I'm just not sure what their plan is, because I know that they feel, and I've talked to some people that told me, hey, they're happy. And the Falcons mantra is, we're happy with what we have inside. We're happy with our big men. We've got enough. And so, you know, it's one of those deals for me where what is their plan for some of the guys that they drafted? Because remember, you got to think back that they have some guys we haven't seen a ton from, like Brandon Dorlus.
Yeah.
And who is Brandon Dorlus is what? 6'3", 300 pounds, right?
Yeah.
About.
Yeah.
They've
about
got
like, about like an Onyemata, I think.
They've got Kentavious Street, who's 6'2", 315, 320. They've got Onyemata, who's 6'4", 300. They've got Rook, who's 6'4", 300. They've got Zach Harrison, who's the smallest of the ones we're going to name it, like 6'5", 280. They also signed Morgan Fox, who is more like Zach Harrison, Mike, as far as size. And so then they got TQ Graham coming back. So I don't know what their goal is on using, and take TQ is a lot more like Harrison in that aspect. So I'm curious what their plan is for using them. So I don't want to overreact and say I'm panicked, but I'm also not going to sit here and tell you, oh, I feel great. They love it. I love it. Because I don't feel that way either.
No, I don't either. I'll be curious, and I'm like you, man. I got a lot of questions moving forward at the defense tackle room. And here's why. You just invested a lot in edge players. But guess what? If you spend every third down and third and one, it ain't going to really matter if Jaylen Walker can rush the passer or James Pierce can rush the passer.
Yeah, I agree. But I also think that as much as we got on the defensive line play for their bad run, but for the bad run defense, linebackers were equally as bad with bad run fits and running around blocks instead of eating them and trying to shed them.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. We'll see as far as guys getting back healthy, Troy Andersen, how soon Jaylen Walker can kind of adapt to that role.